What is life, mind and matter?
My name is Richard Collins. I'm a contributor to the Mooney Show on Fridays, have done so for many years, and I also write a column in the Irish Examiner newspaper on environmental matters, ecology and science.
I'm Philip McCabe. I'm also a contributor to Derek Mooney's programme to do with wasps and bees, particularly during the summer months when the bees and wasps are in their strength. I'm also president of the European Commission for Apiamundi, which is the worldwide association of beekeepers, and I'm also PRO for the Federation of Irish Beekeepers.
Now, in this play, bees, and particularly their problems, colony collapse disorder and so forth, form a metaphor, a backdrop to the action in the play. And it is an excellent metaphor because so much about bees is dramatic and it's also tragic, particularly the lives of the drones. And of course, the recent problems of the Varroa mite and colony collapse.
The most impressive thing about the honeybees for me is the fact that they're absolutely, totally self-sufficient. If they have pollen and nectar, they don't need man at all now, except for this Varroa mite that comes in. But generally speaking, a colony of bees together, they go out, they collect nectar and they collect pollen, and they eat the nectar, which they've converted into honey. They form a ball and they literally perspire wax from eight glands on the underside of their bodies. They then take this wax and they mould it with their mandibles into honeycomb cells, which they tilt upwards because nectar is a very high percentage of water, so if they had it straight out, it would run out. But they put in the nectar and they convert it into honey. Then they eat the honey and produce more wax. And as soon as the cells are complete, the queen then starts to lay. And as soon as she starts to lay, an egg is laid today, 21 days later, a new bee is born. It walks out of its own cell. Its first task then is to polish its own cell, clean its cell, for the queen to come out. The queen will not lay in a dirty cell. So if the cell is not polished, she won't touch it. And they're absolutely self-sufficient in everything. Except for the Varroa now, they just need us to give them a little bit of a helping hand now. But if you ever look into a beehive and watch what they do, and watch a bee being born, just to see that's open out, it nibbles the top of the cell and comes out itself. And after 50 plus years of keeping bees, I'm still fascinated when I see that. Colony collapse disorder is, to some degree, a figment of some people's imagination. Colony collapse disorder is really only ever reported in America. Now, every year, beekeepers lose colonies of bees for a myriad of reasons. But the one common denominator in the loss of bees now in the world is a mite called Varroa, as indicated by Richard.
Now, Marcus Terentius Varro fought with Pompey against Julius Caesar. And, of course, Pompey lost. But Varro was pardoned. And he went on to write a book on farming. And he was a beekeeper, and what his greatest honour is to have the Varroa mite called after him.
Varroa is an eight-legged, crab-like creature that lives on the blood or the hemolymph of the honeybee and is pertinent to honeybees only. It has lived for more than 100 years on the Apis serrana, which is the Asian honeybee. As you can appreciate, there are different races and strains of bees in different parts of the world. Apis serrana has been able to deal with it. The bee we have in Northern Europe is called Apis mellifera mellifera, and it isn't able to deal with it. But in America, you have a situation where beekeepers bring their colonies of bees for pollination. Now, as my father would say, are the beekeepers or keepers of bees? There is a difference. But if you have 100,000 boxes or colonies of bees that you move for pollination, then your business depends on your bees pollinating a crop. And to give you an example, in February each year in California, 1.2 million colonies of bees are required just to pollinate almonds, nothing else. Now, the farmer who grows the almonds, everything else that's in that vicinity is dead. He kills it he puts a spray on it, kills out every living organism on the ground is gone. So the bees get a single pollen for a month. The beekeepers then come in and they move the bees to other crops, whether it's bananas, pineapples, alfalfa, cherries or whatever. But the beekeepers move their colonies on and they too get a single pollen for 4 weeks during the pollination of the flower or while the flower is in bloom. And then they wonder why their bees collapse and why they die. Now, the common denominator in all this is the Varroa, because when Varroa gets into the bees, it lives on the blood of the bee. The bee's immune system goes down, it gets weak, it gets sick. And then if you move bees, as the beekeepers in America do, from Miami or from Florida over to California just for the pollination of almonds. That's a 3,000-mile trip in a couple of trucks over a space of a week. The stress alone on the bees is phenomenal. They have varroa, which is phenomenal. They get no pollen except one for 1 month, and then they wonder why their bees are dying. That phenomena of colony collapse disorder wouldn't be in Ireland or these islands at all, because while we'd move bees maybe 100 mile or even 200 mile if you're living in England, but you'd only move them once, and that would be it, and then you'd move them back. And they would have a myriad of pollen flowers available to them everywhere. So a bee needs an average of 8 different pollens to create royal jelly, its stable food and its diet for this bees. And if it's only getting one pollen, its immune system has gone down, varroa is adding to that, and you get colony collapse disorder. And that's really what colony collapse disorder is.
Is it true that the varroa mite in its native terrain in the Far East in China and places like that, the bees are immune to it, they're able to deal with it, and it's only when beekeepers such as yourself, not yourself of course, but other beekeepers, brought colonies from China to the West that the varroa mite was imported in here?
Correct. This is the short answer to that. What happened was beekeepers tend to move the bees across the world. The British were probably the biggest movers of bees generally, because they moved from Asia on into India. They moved across the continents, and everywhere they went, they brought honeybees with them. But the different races and strains of bees in the world that are they can live in a particular area, the Apis mellifera mellifera, the dark European bee, would not do so well in very, very hot climates. Now, they like hot weather, but I mean, the temperatures that you'd have in Greece and in certain parts of Asia, it wouldn't survive at all. Well, it would survive, but they mix them up. But the Apis cerana, which is the one, the bee pertinent to Asia, it can deal with the varroa mite, as Richard said. It has the facility of actually grooming and cleaning itself. And when it finds the varroa, it takes its head off, tears it apart, and then throws it out. But the dark European bee, and indeed the Apis ligusta in Italy, Carniolan bee in Central Europe, we'll say in Slovenia, Croatia, it can't deal with it either. They have a big, that race of bee has a big problem. The only bee that can deal with it is Apis cerana, where it's lived happily for several millennia.
Now, bees are very complex and very sophisticated creatures. They have all kinds of things they can do, navigation and so forth, and temperature control and all kinds of wonderful things. But their communication abilities are outstanding. When a bee comes back from flowers, from looking for pollen, it lands on the helicopter pad where bees land in the hive, and it has a way of signalling to the other worker bees where it's come from, that is where it got its pollen, and how far away the pollen is. If the pollen is in the direction of the sun, it lands at the top and walks down to, if you like, 12 o'clock in the day, and it walks down to the 6 o'clock point in the day. That tells the other bees, if you want the pollen this lady brought back, you fly in the direction of the sun. The next thing it does is it does what's called a waggle dance. It goes around, around and round and round, and the more waggles it does, the further away the plant is. Now, this was discovered by a fellow called von Frisch, who got the Nobel Prize back in 1979. But the great story is much more recent. It concerns a place called Schaffberg Mountain in Austria. And that mountain illustrated something quite extraordinary about a bee colony. The colony was placed on one side of the mountain. The flowers that colony needed were placed on the other side of the mountain. The females went off. They eventually found the flowers on the far side of the mountain. But in order to fly to that set of flowers, they would have to go off at right angles to the direction in which they were, in order to fly around the mountain, shall we say. The question was, when they come back, what do they signal to the other bees? Do they signal the direction in which the flowers actually are? Do they signal the direction in which you have to travel? And if they signal the direction in which the flowers are, do they give the actual crowfly's distance to the flowers, or do they give the distance the bee will have to fly around the mountain in order to get to the flowers? But what do you think was found? It was found that the bees, when they came back, signalled the true position of the flowers as though there were no mountain. But when it came to signalling how far you had to travel, they didn't use the crowfly measurement. They told the other bees the distance required to go all around the mountain. Now, the calculations involved in doing that are just mind-boggling. Philip, I believe that the various things you can use to put down varroa have side effects, or some have suggested they have side effects on the bees. Are they effective, or will they be more of a hindrance than a help in the long run?
What's happening at the moment is, because varroa is relatively new, and what I mean by relatively new, in the last 20 years, about 20 years, 1998 we got it in Ireland, so that's how long we have it here now. We were prepared for it before it actually came. Whereas our friends in the UK, they got it in 1991, 92, and they didn't really do much about it, and they lost a huge number of bees. In fact, the apple crop in Somerset and Devon, those parts, failed very badly in 1995. And they blamed that the bees weren't there to do the pollination. Now, the apples were there, but they weren't proper apples as such. They weren't properly formed. They were disfigured and they were small, they were odd shapes. Whereas a pollinated apple has a perfect shape to it. That's what the pollination does. It would also be a larger crop of apples. But in relation to the varroa situation and the effect that has had, what happens is, initially, we were depending on chemicals to treat this varroa. We didn't know how to deal with it, in fact, and we were getting instructions and advice from different countries who had experience of it. But the Irish, and initially, we used a product called Baverol for a few short years, but we became aware very quickly that this product, the bees would become immune to it. And once we heard that, then this is dangerous stuff. So we started looking at alternatives. And a beehive normally is a square box or a box effect with a bottom floor. A beehive, you know, the wooden box, that's not really suitable for the bees at all. A hole in a tree or the roof of a house is what you want, or anything at all. What they can make themselves is always best. A hive, a wooden box, is suitable for the beekeeper, not necessarily the bees. But this box is the only way we can manage them, and the only way we can get honey off them and look after them. And in fact, the only bees now in this part of the world that are surviving have to have a human caretaker in a beekeeper, because if they don't, the varroa will wipe them out in 3 years. But when the varroa came, we then started looking at organic treatments, nature's way of dealing with it. And the first thing we did was put in a mesh floor, a grill. So when the varroa would fall off, as it did, but they used to crawl back up again, but now with the mesh floor, they fall through onto the floor, and we believe we have about 25% natural drop. We can then use a substance called icing sugar, where some beekeepers just shake icing sugar all over the bees, and because it sticks to the hair of the bees scratch themselves to clean the sugar, and in doing so, they scratch off the varroa, which is like a little tick stuck to their body. Now, that doesn't affect the varroa that's in the cell, living on the hemolymph of the larvae inside of the cell. But we're using now stuff like oxalic acid and formic acid. These are acids that are organic in treatment. Thymol is another product, which has no effect. But these are used before the boxes for the honey go on or after the boxes of the honey come off. It's only treated on what we call the nursery or the brood box. That's where the treatment takes place. There's no point in treating bees where the honey box are on, because you're only interfering with them. But it's now manageable. But it's only manageable because it's a lot more work, a lot extra time. In the past, in my dad's time, he could put out 10 hives, just leave them there, check them twice in the year and let them get on with it, put on the boxes of the honey and get section honey off them. Now you're checking them every week, every 10 days, to just check how things are going. You're monitoring, you're seeing what the effect of varroa is, you're seeing are there any diseases or any viruses. If the bees get a virus because the immune system goes down, they get deformed wing. They're born like bits of legs missing and parts of wings missing because of the varroa stuck in the larvae while it was in the cell. When you see that, then you know you have a big problem and you have a big infestation. So now you've got to do something. And the organic treatments is now what we're into.